The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
It is Wednesday, July 24th, 2019.
I always like that music. Yeah, I do like that.
I get it.
This is a special report, ladies and gentlemen. Special version of the Majority Report, wherein we just watched the three-hour testimony of Robert Mueller to the Judiciary Committee. The Intelligence Committee hearing is happening in about half an hour. What we are going to do now is, in about 20, 25 minutes, more or less, maybe a little less, basically go over the highlights of the hearing. Mueller was even more reticent to say anything than we thought. The last clip that we will play is, I think, one of the most clear of this. He seemed tired during it, frankly. And I don't even know if we have any highlights. We have one highlight from a Republican where he asked a question he didn't know an answer to and did not get the response that he wanted. The rest of the Republicans basically spoke about how there were people in the DOJ who were, having an affair and questioning Mueller's impartiality and whatnot. So not terribly relevant in that regard. And really, this is what this hearing is going to end up doing. It's either going to do one of two things. It's going to take the air out of the sails of impeachment, or it's going to. There'll be a couple of clips that'll be played over and over again. One of them will be one of the ones that we present to you now. Let's just get right into this. Robert Mueller. Here is a short clip of his testimony, his opening statement on his testimony.
First, our investigation found that the Russian government interfered in our election in sweeping and systematic fashion. Second, the investigation did not establish that members of the Trump campaign conspired with the Russian government in its election interference activities. We did not address collusion, which is not a legal term. Rather, we focused on whether the evidence was sufficient to charge any member of the campaign with taking part in a criminal conspiracy, and it was not. Third, our investigation of efforts to obstruct the investigation and lie to investigators was of critical importance. Obstruction of justice strikes at the core of the government's effort to find the truth and to hold wrongdoers accountable. Finally, as described in Volume 2 of our report, we investigated a series of actions by the president towards the investigation. Based on Justice Department policy and principles of fairness, we decided we would not make a determination as to whether the president committed a crime. That was our decision then, and it remains our decision today.
Okay, now, there's two things there that he said at the end that are going to be relevant. The first did not get enough attention. It is based upon the OLC opinion about whether a sitting president can be charged with a crime. That was one of the reasons why we did not make a determination as to whether he committed a crime. The second one was fairness. You have to ask yourself, would it be unfair to say that someone did not commit a crime to that person? No, it would not. Would it be unfair to say that they did commit a crime if there was no legal proceeding in which they could defend themselves? Yes, it would. So he's basically said there in his opening statement, although you have to parse it, we would have charged him with a crime if he was not the president of the United States and there was an opportunity for him to defend himself and there was no OLC ruling as to whether he should be charged. Here is Jerry Nadler, who was the who provided the opening questions for Mueller, and this was one of the best exchanges, I think, in terms of just being simple and straightforward. Go ahead.
A number of challenges to our democracy is among the most serious.
He has completely claimed
that your report found there was no obstruction and that it completely and totally exonerated him. But that is not what your report said, is it?
Correct. That is not what the report said.
And now, reading from page 2 of volume 2 of your report that's on the screen, you wrote, quote, "If we had confidence after a thorough investigation of the facts that the president clearly did not commit obstruction of justice, we would so state. Based on the facts and the applicable legal standards, however, we are unable to reach that judgment," close quote. Now, does that say there was no obstruction?
No.
In fact, you were actually unable to conclude the president did not commit obstruction of justice. Is that correct?
Well, we, at the outset, determined that we, when it came to the president's culpability, we needed to go forward only after taking into account the OLC opinion that indicated that a president, a sitting president, cannot be indicted.
So the report did not conclude that he did not commit obstruction of justice. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And what about total exoneration? Did you actually totally exonerate the president?
No.
Now, in fact, your report expressly states that it does not exonerate the president.
It does.
And your investigation actually found, quote, "multiple acts by the president that were capable of exerting undue influence over law enforcement investigations, including the Russian interference and obstruction investigations." Is that correct?
Correct.
Now, Director Mueller, can you explain in plain terms what that finding means so the American people can understand it?
Well, the finding indicates that the president was not that the president was not exculpated for the acts that he allegedly committed.
In fact, you were talking about incidents, quote, "in which the president sought to use his official power outside of usual channels," unquote, "to exert undue influence over your investigations." Is that right?
That's correct.
Now, am I correct that on page 7 of volume 2 of your report, you wrote, quote, "the president became aware that his own conduct was being investigated in an obstruction of justice inquiry. At that point, the president engaged in a second phase of conduct involving public attacks on the investigation, non-public efforts to control it, and efforts in both public and private to encourage witnesses not to cooperate with the investigation," close quote. So President Trump's efforts to exert undue influence over your investigation intensified after the president became aware that he personally was being investigated?
I stick with the language that you have in front of you.
Which
okay. Comes from page 7, volume 2.
Now, is it correct that if you concluded that the president committed the crime of obstruction, you could not publicly state that in your report or here today?
Can you repeat the question, sir?
Is it correct that if you had concluded that the president committed the crime of obstruction, you could not publicly state that in your report or here today?
Well, I would say the statement would be that you would not indict, and you would not indict because under the OLC opinion, a sitting president, cannot be indicted, be unconstitutional.
So you could not state that because of the OLC opinion if that would have been your conclusion?
The OLC opinion was some guide, yes.
But under DOJ, under there Department of it. Justice policy, the president could be prosecuted for obstruction of justice crimes after he leaves office, is correct?
True.
Thank you. Did any senior White House official refuse a request to be interviewed by you and your team?
I don't believe so.
The president?
Well, let me take that back. I would have to look at it, but I'm not certain that that was the case.
Did the president refuse a request to be interviewed by you and your team?
Yes.
Yes. And is it true that you tried for more than a year to secure an interview with the president?
Yes.
And is it true that you and your team advised the president's lawyer that, quote, "an interview with the president is vital to our investigation," close
yes.
quote?
Yes.
And is it true that you also, quote, "stated that it is in the interest of the presidency and the public for an interview to take place," close quote?
Yes.
But the president still refused to sit for an interview by you or your team?
True. True.
And did you also ask him to provide written answers to questions on the 10 possible episodes of obstruction of justice crimes involving him?
Yes.
Did he provide any answers to a single question about whether he engaged in obstruction of justice crimes?
I would have to check on that. I'm not certain.
Director Mueller, we are grateful that you are here to explain your investigation and findings. Having reviewed your work, I believe anyone else would engage in the...
Okay, and so there you have it. Some key things that Nadler brought out. That Mueller, if Mueller believed that obstruction had occurred, he would not say it in the report or in this hearing because of the OLC... because of the OLC holding and the subsequent implications it would be for fairness after that. But he did say, and we're going to hear this a couple of times, that he can be charged, the president can be charged with obstruction of justice after he's no longer the president. Here is Zoe Lofgren asking Mueller, she is a Democrat from California, about Paul Manafort and the polling information that Paul Manafort handed on to one of his clients, I guess, or former clients. Here it is.
Election.
Well, particularly when it came to computer crimes and the like, the government was implicated.
So you wrote on in Volume 1 that the Russian government interfered in the 2016 presidential election in sweeping and systematic fashion. You also described in your report that the then Trump campaign chairman, Paul Manafort, shared with a Russian operative, Kalimnik, the campaign strategy for winning Democratic votes in Midwestern states in internal polling data of the campaign. Isn't that correct?
Correct.
They also discussed the status of the Trump campaign and Manafort's strategy for winning Democratic votes in Midwestern states. Months before that meeting, Manafort had caused internal data to be shared with Kalimnik, and the sharing continued for some period of time after their August meeting. Isn't that correct?
Accurate.
In fact, your investigation found that Manafort briefed Kalimnik on the state of the Trump campaign and Manafort's plan to win the election, and that briefing encompassed the campaign's messaging, its internal polling data. It also included discussion of battleground states, which Manafort identified as Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Minnesota. Isn't that correct?
That's correct.
Did your investigation determine who requested the polling data to be shared with Kalimnik?
Well, I would... direct you to the report and adopt what we have in the report with regard to that particular issue.
We don't have the redacted version. This may be another reason why we should get that for Volume 1. Based on your investigation, how could the Russian government have used this campaign polling
data? Pause it for 1 second. We don't know who directed Manafort to do that. It's weird that it would be redacted, wouldn't it? That's weird. But Bill Barr is not here, and so we can't ask him why he redacted that. Go ahead.
Reason why we should get that for Volume 1. Based on your investigation, how could the Russian government have used this campaign polling data to further its sweeping and systematic interference in the 2016 presidential
election?
That's
a little bit out of our path.
Fair enough. Did your investigation find that the Russian government perceived it would benefit from one of the candidates winning?
Yes.
And which candidate would that be?
Well, it would be Trump.
Correct.
Trump.
Now, the Trump campaign wasn't exactly reluctant to take Russian help. You wrote it expected it would benefit electorally from information stolen and released through Russian efforts. Isn't that correct?
That's correct.
Now, was the investigation's determination, what was the investigation's determination regarding the frequency with which the Trump campaign made contact with the Russian government?
Well, I would have to refer you to the report on that.
Well, we went through and we counted 126 contacts between Russians or their agents and Trump campaign officials or their associates. So would that sound about right?
I can't say. I understand the statistic, and I believe it. You know, I understand the statistic.
Well, Mr. Mueller, I appreciate your being here
and
your report.
And so there, you know, this question as to why Manafort shared that information. Maybe it was just that Kilimnik was just curious. Like, how does a campaign work? Like, what do you guys do? I love data. I mean, that's not impossible to imagine. It's weird that you would redact the person who told Manafort to do it. That's strange.
Particularly when it totally exonerates me.
Yeah. It's a weird thing. Weird thing. But we don't know. All right. And here is a Republican who is going to helpfully ask a question that he apparently does not know the answer to, even though Mueller had said it in his questioning with Nadler and his opening statement. But let's put a fine point on this. The Ken Buck. Here we go.
Charge of conspiracy with Russian interference in the 2016 election. Is that fair?
That's fair.
Was there sufficient evidence to convict President Trump or anyone else with obstruction of justice?
We did not make that calculation.
How could you not have made the calculation?
Because
with the regulation?
The OLC opinion, Office of Legal Counsel, indicates that we cannot indict a sitting president. So one of the tools that a prosecutor would use is not there.
Okay, but let me just stop. You made the decision on the Russian interference. You couldn't have indicted the president on that, and you made the decision on that. But when it came to obstruction, you threw a bunch of stuff up against the wall to see what would stick.
Well,
and that is fundamentally unfair.
I would not agree to that characterization at all. What we did is provide to the attorney general in the form of a confidential memorandum our understanding of the case. Those cases that were brought, those cases that were declined, and that one case where the president cannot be charged with a crime.
Okay, but the could you charge the president with a crime after he left office?
Yes.
You believe that he committed, you could charge the president of the United States with obstruction of justice after he left office?
Yes.
Okay, now, yes. Now look, I'm convinced that what Mueller was saying is there, hypothetically, you could. However, what Buck doesn't realize he's saying, it's like, you told us where in the first instance that there was not sufficient evidence that you found to charge the president with conspiracy. Why didn't you say that in the second instance? Well, because the OLC says he can't be charged with a crime. In other words, we found sufficient evidence to charge him with a crime, but it is impossible to charge him with a crime, so we just let it hang there. And I wonder if he's going to come back and say, I was not saying that you could charge the president with a crime after he gets out of office. If he was saying this president or just in general, maybe he meant to do that is like sort of. Well, it'll be interesting to see if that's corrected. But either way, I think you can charge this president with the crime of obstruction after he gets out of office. And one could generally charge a president with a crime once he gets out of office or she gets out of office. Here is Democratic Congressman David Cicilline
over here
from Rhode Island. Making a point again that refutes those who said you can't charge a crime of obstruction if it is not successful. Here we go.
Message to Mr. Lewandowski for Attorney General Sessions and asked him to write it down. Is that correct?
True.
And did you and your team see this handwritten message?
I'm not going to get into what we may or may not have included in our investigation.
Okay, the message directed Sessions to give, and I'm quoting from your report, to give a public speech saying that he planned to meet with the special prosecutor to explain this is very unfair and let the special prosecutor move forward with investigating election meddling for future elections. That's at page 91. Is that correct?
Yes, I see that. Thank you. Yes, it is.
In other words, Mr. Lewandowski, a private citizen, was instructed by the President of the United States to deliver a message from the President to the Attorney General that directed him to limit your investigation, correct?
Correct.
And at this time, Mr. Sessions was still recused from oversight of your investigation, correct?
I'm sorry, could you restate?
The Attorney General was recused from oversight.
Yes.
So the Attorney General would have had to violate his own department's rules in order to comply with the President's order, correct?
Well, I'm not going to get into the subsidiary details. Okay. I just refer you again to page 91, 92 of the report.
And if the Attorney General had followed through with the President's request, Mr. Mueller, it would have effectively ended your investigation into the President and his campaign, as you note on page 97, correct?
Could you...
At page 97, you write, and I quote, taken together, the President's directives indicate that Sessions was being instructed to tell the special counsel to end the existing investigation into the President and his campaign, with the special counsel being permitted to move forward with investigating election meddling for future elections. Is that correct?
Generally true. Yes, sir.
And it's an unsuccessful attempt to obstruct justice is still a crime. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And Mr. Lewandowski tried to meet with the Attorney General.
Go.
Is that right?
True.
That's all you need to know. That is one of the building blocks of those people who deny that there was a crime committed. So let's just knock down some of these things that we've heard in the 2 weeks, not just from Trump, but in the 2 weeks after the report was issued, that it totally exonerated Donald Trump. Mueller says no, that you cannot be charged with obstruction if it's unsuccessful. Mueller says that's not correct. He also has, as far as I can tell, explicitly said the reason why we did not charge him with obstruction was because the OLC tells us that we cannot, the Office of Legal Counsel and the Department of Justice. So we did everything we could up to that line. Now, let's go to Ted Lieu, who will reaffirm that in a very, very explicit exchange here. This is a Democrat from California. On that very topic of the OLC statement, the OLC holding.
Indict Donald Trump is because of OLC opinion stating that you cannot indict a sitting president, correct?
That is correct.
The fact that their orders by the president were not carried out, that is not a defense.
Pause it.
To
go back to the beginning of that. I want to be very clear on what Mueller said here. Now, maybe again, he misspoke and did not mean to say that but that's basically what he's saying in about four different ways.
I could conclude that all three elements of the crime of obstruction of justice have been met. And I'd like to ask you, the reason again that you did not indict Donald Trump is because of OLC opinion stating that you cannot indict a sitting president, correct?
That is correct.
The fact that their orders by the president were not carried out, that is not a defense to obstruction of justice because the statute itself is quite broad. It says that as long as you endeavor or attempt to obstruct justice, that would also constitute a crime.
I get into that at this juncture.
Pause it. Although earlier he did say, it's interesting. There were some instances where he would say it. I'm not sure what made it that specific thing that is something he wouldn't respond to. But there you have it. Here is Cedric Richmond, Democrat from Louisiana. Another mechanism in which Donald Trump obstructed justice. As they go through, and largely what happened after Lieu and throughout, where the Democrats were just going through the different counts of obstruction of justice that took place. And it got very mired. And none of it is relevant insofar as this is a political, this is all about politics. And it that stuff may make it into an impeachment report, but not if there is not an impeachment inquiry. So, but this stuck out in terms of why one might begin an impeachment inquiry. Cedric Richmond, Democrat from Louisiana.
So it's fair to say the president tried to protect himself by asking staff to falsify records relevant to an ongoing investigation.
I would say that's generally a summary.
Would you say that that action, the president tried to hamper the investigation by asking staff to falsify records relevant to your investigation?
I'm just going to refer you to the report if I could. For
yeah, there you go. So he doesn't want to go that far in saying that, except because it's in the report. Here is Congresswoman Val Demings, Florida. Again, making the point of why obstruction is a crime and why, again, multiple accounts of obstruction and how it implicates the investigation of the so-called underlying crime.
According to your report, page 9, volume 1, witnesses lied to your office and to Congress. Those lies materially impaired the investigation of Russia interference, according to your report. Other than the individuals who pled guilty to crimes based on their lying to you and your team, did other witnesses lie to you?
I think there are probably a spectrum of witnesses in terms
of... Sorry about that. It's hanging there. Go ahead. Bear with us, folks. A little technical issue. He's saying there is a spectrum of... Here we go.
...who pled guilty to crimes based on their lying to you and your team. Did other witnesses lie to you?
I think there are probably a spectrum of witnesses in terms of those who... are not telling the full truth, and those are outright liars.
Thank you very much. Outright liars. It is fair to say, then, that there were limits on what evidence was available to your investigation of both Russia election interference and obstruction of justice.
That's true, and it's usually the case.
And that lies by Trump campaign officials and administration officials impeded your investigation.
I would generally agree with that.
Thank you so much, Director Mueller. You will be hearing more from me.
She's going to be back in the Intel Committee. But there you go. I mean, he could not do the investigation. He could not find the evidence, he specifically said, because of the lies. All right, lastly, this is our last one, right? This is Veronica Escobar. Is that right? And this is super important because, and I would have spent more time on this, frankly. I don't know how much they coordinated. It seems like they coordinated. But this goes to the question of impeachment. And if Mueller, in his report, by noting that there are constitutional procedures to deal with this, this is sort of a question mark, right? But he has said in the report and in this hearing, the reason why they did not indict Trump on obstruction is because of the OLC ruling. And he further said in the report, and there are constitutional procedures in which to deal with this. And here is that point being brought out in the hearing. Frankly, it should have been brought out. They all went through the obstruction charges. And instead of doing that, each one of them should have had this line of questioning, it seems to me.
Director Mueller, you wrote in your report that you, quote, determined not to make a traditional prosecutorial judgment, end quote. Was that in part because of an opinion by the Department of Justice, Office of Legal Counsel, that a sitting president can't be charged with a crime?
Yes.
Director Mueller, at your May 29th, 2019 press conference, you explained that, quote, the opinion says that the Constitution requires a process other than the criminal justice system to formally accuse a sitting president of wrongdoing, end quote. That process other than the criminal justice system for accusing a president of wrongdoing, is that impeachment?
I'm not going to comment on that.
In your report, you also wrote that you did not want to, quote, potentially preempt constitutional processes for addressing presidential misconduct, end quote. For the non-lawyers in the room, what did you mean by, quote, potentially preempt constitutional processes?
I'm not going to try to explain that.
That actually is coming from page one of volume two. In the footnote is the reference to this. What are those constitutional processes?
I think I heard you mention at least one.
Impeachment, correct?
I'm not going to comment.
All right, pause it. Okay, so here's the bottom line. All right, here's the bottom line. This is Robert Mueller trying to protect himself from being on television with the word impeachment coming out of his mouth. That's it. Bottom line. He said before he came to testify, he told the committee he will not read from the report. He was asked to on multiple occasions. He had already said, I will not do that. And he did not want the word impeachment to come out of his mouth. Just as a principle, as a directive to himself. But he did say, like, oh, if you put it up on the wall, the word, I will point to it. As long as we can't see, there's no camera shot of me pointing to that word. You just mentioned it. I mean, it's childish. And to a certain extent, this was his posture throughout the whole thing. And frankly, this is cowardly. It's cowardice.
Yeah, like, why is he doing this? Is that
he's
a dumb
doing
question?
This because he? I mean, he wanted to protect himself throughout this thing. He didn't want to walk away from the job, and he wanted to protect himself, and that's it.
And he's able to do it because the Democrats are very deferential to him.
Exactly.
Well, one might imagine in the long term, it'll be protecting himself more if he doesn't look like he sat on his hands in the face of a rising authoritarian threat.
I mean, I think largely people will forget his name down the road, and that's what he wants. But that's it. That's the judiciary monarch notes, cliff notes, whatever you want to say to it. And we should drop this up in the front part of the audio. We can. Well, folks, as you notice, I'm shaving today. A lot of guys buy disposable razors when they travel this summer. You don't have to sacrifice quality for price. You can join the 10 million people who have tried Harry's. Claim your special offer by going to harrys.com/majority report. Harry's delivers high quality, travel friendly shave supplies at a great low price. Just $2 per plate. Keep prices low. They cut out the middleman by purchasing a world-class blade factory in Germany. And now they provide great quality at factory direct prices. Harry's has been one of our longest term supporters, advertisers on this show. I cannot tell you how many times people say to me, you clean up nice. After I have shaven, and then often I did it today with the anticipation that maybe I will go on television. I generally don't like to shave that much. Harry's has made it a much more pleasant experience for me, ladies and gentlemen. This summer, refresh your wallet and your face with Harry's trial set. It comes with weighted ergonomic handle for an easy grip, the 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip, and the Sam Cedar favorite trimmer blade for a close shave, and also works around my asymmetrical nostrils, rich lathering shave gel that will leave you smelling great, and a travel blade cover to keep your razor dry and easy on the go. Listeners of my show can redeem their trial set at harrys.com/majority report. Make sure you go to harrys.com/majority report to redeem your offer. Let them know I sent you to support the show. All right, folks, we're going to be back in moments to cover the Intel hearing with Robert Mueller. We will be doing that live. Thank you for watching this. We'll be back in about 5 or 10 minutes once we, you know, inject some food into us. And thank you for joining us. And bye.
It might take all the strength I got to get to where I want, but I know somehow I'm gonna get there. I wasn't looking when I just got caught between the truth and the light bulb. But finding out won't make me feel any better. Yeah, I know the clock is ticking, but the meds are gonna kick in.